Triple M Rocks Saturday Arvo Footy. Triple M Rocks the Footy. For Harvey Norman Home Appliances.
Lovely to have your company on a Saturday afternoon. Kendall Saylor, Ryan Girdler, James Hooper, Tony Squires with you on this Saturday afternoon. Wendell, before we get into what is a packed agenda for this final hour, you were a little bit on your lonesome last week. Obviously, I was off to the UN doing some very business, big business for the country.
Yeah.
You were away, weren't you, Girds, in Winnebago?
Yeah.
How did it go for you?
It went good. Look, I just had to steady the ship last week.
Were you the captain?
Yeah, I was the captain.
Okay, cool.
I don't really like being the captain. You know what I'm like. I don't like to get here early. I don't like leadership. I just like to come in and just do the special things.
Yeah, just chime into the back line occasionally.
Yeah. Mm. And, I really missed you guys last week, but the team last week did a good job. Liam Flanagan. Liam Flanagan.
He's everywhere, Liam. He's a bit overexposed.
He knows he's good. That's probably the problem. Mm. He's just got to realise when he's on a show with me, the show's about me and not him. But I'll give Liam a pass. Emma Lawrence, she was great.
Right.
She was really good. I know why we didn't get Reedy. Reedy came on too. We only gave Reedy a little bit of time, and that's all Reedy deserves. So Emma Lawrence, mate, she was great. Had really well balanced. Can break the stories, but nothing like Hoops. You know, Hoops he's at the top. He's like South Sydney. Then we had Wade Graham.
Uh-huh.
Graham, yes. And mate, you guys have had him a few. He is very good. Yeah. He is very good.
Got his own opener. Did they play that? Wade's World.
He's got his own opener. No, but he had to throw to Flano, and he just dropped the ball early. I don't think we've got it, but he dropped the ball early. Mm. But other than that, Wade Graham, he was flawless.
All right. Okay, we have plenty, as I said, a packed dance card for the hour we get to share with you. The big story, obviously, since last night has been what went on in terms of the officiating in the Sharks-Raiders game. 28-24, let's look at that Tyre Power scoreboard. That was the final score, but gee, there was a lot of drama within that, and certainly a try that was awarded to the Sharks, overturned by the bunker for what looked for all the world like a knock-on, and certainly a touch judge put his flag up. The Raiders players stopped completely, yet the try was awarded. Now, we have spoken to Bernard Sutton. We'll hear from him again this afternoon. But this is just a little bit of a highlight, I guess, of what he thought was the problem.
There's obviously a human error by the touch judge. Obviously, we're in a game where there can be some human error, and that comes down to a human error. Occasionally, we see a human error, human error, human error, human error, human error, and that comes down to a human error.
Is it fair to say, Tony, someone made a mistake?
I think that's exactly what happened. I mean, that's fair enough, there is. And I'm not concerned, really, about the human error, as he says, that's valid.
He's talking about the wrong human error.
Yes.
The human error wasn't the linesman, although,
granted,
he got it wrong. It was not allowing the bunker to make a decision based on...
That's exactly the problem, and look, we'll play a bit more of that in a little while. We'll also, as I said, we'll look at South Sydney taking on the Tigers. It is Johnny Sutton's 300th game. We'll get Jamie Soward in. You and Jamie Soward and Wendell are calling that game of rugby league. I think it's his first play-by-play call. For Jamie Soward.
Oh, right.
So, I don't know, some tips for him as well. Plenty ahead. This is Saturday Triple M NRL. Saturday Triple M NRL.
You remember that summer?
Oh,
clearly it's day when
I
you
do.
Don't.
Yeah,
what did you do in the summer of 69?
Well, I had my 21st birthday. I had my 8th birthday party there. That was a terrific day.
I bet it was.
1969, there you go. We're a long way from there right now, but it's time for this.
Nobody knows if the stock is going to go up. The Triple M NRL Stock Market.
Yes, gents, very simple operation. I throw a few topics at me. You tell me whether you're buying, selling, or holding. We have earlier today talked about this young Broncos forwards pack. Obviously, they're not only great now, they're going to build, and they're being hung on to by the Broncos, which is terrific. Payne Haas, a young guy who's played just minutes of NRL football, has been signed to a $3 million deal?
$3.5 million or
something. $3.5 million deal. It is massive. I guess the question is, do you see the same things that the those in charge at the Broncos do? You buying that contract, Girds?
Well, I haven't seen enough of the kid play. I do know, but the Broncos obviously have. I do know, obviously, the Kalyn Ponga situation where, that is going to turn out to bear some fruit for the Knights. What concerns me about this is we're talking about a front rower, a really tough position to play, and a position that generally takes a fair bit of development, you know, where, you know, I don't know if you see too many front rowers come in at 19 and 20 and really dominate in that role.
Yep.
And so if he's 18 now, the first 2 years of his deal, are they going to get value for money there? They might get some value in the back end of it, but I'm not sure straight away. So I'm going to hold on the Payne Haas long-term deal.
As a Dragon supporter, I'm buying because it means that Corbin Sims is suddenly at the Dragons for the next 3 years, which is terrific.
I'll buy, Tone.
Yep.
I think that all the best talent scouts have identified him as one of the best emerging young players in the game. There are a number of other clubs, as Wayne Bennett pointed out in his press conference yesterday. There was a stack of other clubs queuing up, even offering more money than what the Broncos did. Yeah, there's an element of risk involved, but if this guy's as good as all of the good judges think that he's going to be, then I think we're going to see another Kalen Ponga situation where by the time he gets to the last year of his contract, we'll say, wow, well, they got value for money out of that deal.
Okay, Del?
I'm holding. You know, I've spoken to a few people in and around sort of the Broncos, and he's had a few injuries, this young kid, obviously because he's just such a, you know, a beast of a sort of a person. And, you know, when he came in, he played a couple of all right games, but obviously a couple of injuries this year, which is going to happen. And then, as Gerd said, you know, you're playing in the front row, close to the toughest position, and front rowers don't usually mature, you know, or develop until they're like, they get their best when they're about 24, 25. So I think, you know, it's unlike the Broncos to pay massive money, but obviously he's a special talent. But, yeah, I'm going to hold.
Was it a shoulder that he did this year as well? Was it the shoulder, the reason he had the hole?
Yeah.
I mean, that's it. That's a I don't want to, you know.
Yeah.
I don't want to put a mock on the kid, but, I mean, shoulder injuries are things that you can carry for long periods of time, and in the middle of the field.
Okay. Yeah. Well, there's some suspicion there. All right. When do we spoke to Steve Menzies a little while ago. Yeah. Just remind me, the Hall of Fame, who are some of those names that will be joining Beaver Menzies within that august venue?
The great man, his partner in crime, Cliff Lyons, Ricky Stewart, Gordon Tallis, Petro Sivanasiva, and the Kiwi legend, Mark Graham.
All right. This is exciting. This is brilliant.
It is exciting.
But are you buying the fact that we know this now? This has been released. I know they did on NRL 360. They gave us the names. Or did you want the glittering ceremony in August when it is announced, all the blokes are there sitting there in their black ties waiting, just, you know, on every word to come out, am I going to be picked?
Then
we find out.
Yes, man, I'm with you, Tony. I want the build-up, you know, like the Oscars or the Emmy, like the Logies when I won another Logie with the footy show, you know, back then a long time ago.
Sorry, back up, Sparky, when you won what?
When Logie?
I won a Logie with the footy show.
You won a Gus Logie.
Yeah, I was at the footy show that
time. How much of a role were you playing on the footy show?
I was a big part of that role.
Did you go on stage and accept the Logie?
Yes, I did.
Did you seriously?
Myself, Fatty, and Andrew Voss, and I think Vossy and I, when the next year we were out of a job. But enough of it.
No. Sorry. I can't let this go.
You just buried the lead.
So you go up on stage.
Yes.
Right. Did you have any prepared speech? Did you say anything?
No, I just winged it because, you know, I've been a bit of a star for a long time, so I knew what I was going to say there, you know.
What did you say? Do you remember?
Not really, but it would have been great. But actually, I'll tell you what I did do because, you know, I'm such a home and away Neighbours fan.
Yeah.
I remember I got this photo with this bird that was there. You know who that girl was from Neighbours? It was Margot Robbie. And I can't find it. And because it was one of
Australia's great young actresses.
I know. But anyway, so yeah.
She's about to play Sharon Tate, isn't she?
Yeah, I don't know.
I'll just text her Wendell and see whether she's still got it.
So you won the Logie. Does it spend any time in your house, the Logie?
I've never been seen it other than that night.
Like, that night, did you carry it round to the parties?
Oh, I didn't really go to the parties. I sort of went back to the room and just went to bed.
Seriously? So anyway, back to the stock market.
Yeah, I'm holding because, you know, you want that sort of, you want the excitement, you know, everyone, who's going to be in there because we've got so many great players, so yeah.
Going to get excited once, maybe that was for the incident for NRL 360. What do you think?
I'm okay with it, Tane, because the Immortals are going to be inducted. They're going to announce two new Immortals in the end of the year at that ceremony. So I think that will be obviously clearly the main focus of that particular evening. And yeah, so I think that's why they decided to do it like that.
Okay.
So I'm
all
buying.
Right.
Yeah, I'm going to buy after just finding that out. It's all about the immortals.
Yeah. And is it all about State of Origin in Perth? I was a little bit dismayed during the week. It might have been Tuesday or Monday, I'm not sure. We just finished State of Origin for this season. Then on the telly, up pops Kevi Walters and Brad Fittler wearing the maroon and the blue. They're in Perth at Optus Stadium.
That's
there.
Great.
Talking about State of Origin next year.
Yeah.
Selling that. And tickets went on sale, I think, on Wednesday. Suddenly, we're back in business. And it's in Perth. So I guess there's a couple of things. The early ticket sale. But the notion of taking it to Perth. Are you buying or selling hoops?
Yeah, I'm buying. I think we've got to try and grow the game everywhere that we can. And State of Origin has become such a jewel in the crown that it is the top rating show on television every single year, year in and year out. So I'm all for taking one Origin game per year into a different market.
Okay. What about you, Wendell Saylor?
Yeah, look, I mean, I'm all for it. You know, I was one of those people that just sort of said, you know, this is just a Queensland, New South Wales thing. And then, you know, we go to Melbourne and see how big it is in Melbourne and how much they've got behind it. And then, obviously, Perth, they love their rugby league too. So, look, I'm comfortable with it, so I'm buying.
Okay.
And I think we had, 35,000 tickets, 32,000 tickets sold in 3 days. That's massive.
That is huge.
Yeah, it kind of goes with my nature to keep teasing, and I think we're doing a wonderful job at teasing the people over there in the West, aren't we? We send a little game of NRL over there every now and again, but then we take it away from them. Then we're going to send an Origin over there. We just keep teasing the people over there in Western Australia. I don't think we're ever going to do anything about it,
no, exactly.
But let's keep teasing them, Tone, so I'm buying.
They want their Western Reds back, don't they?
Why not?
I saw the Western Reds' first game in Perth. It was
did
terrific,
you?
Yeah.
Who did they play?
Brad McKay. They played the Dragons.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah, they actually had a win.
It was good fun landing on the Whacker.
Yeah.
I remember.
Oh.
Remember how hard that was?
Yeah. Not really. I just stayed out wise.
Yeah. You got to come in the middle more often.
Oops. Sorry, Hitman.
A question without notice. on the stock market for you.
Yep.
The Bulldogs playing in the same, in the striped jerseys that Parramatta were playing in. Obviously, a tiny difference in colour.
What's going on there?
But confusing.
Yeah, I think it's since I'm selling for sure. I think it's since the NRL said they're investigating or reviewing or putting a review into another review or something about why they had those. They weren't supposed to have those jumpers on. So for whatever reason,
who, the Dogs or the
Bulldogs?
Yeah.
Weren't supposed to. Yeah,
but,
they weren't supposed
but
to.
But apparently, the proper set or their other set,
the mainly white one. Yeah.
Yeah. It was at the dry cleaners still.
No. I heard, Wendell, that they're selling their other set just to help out with the salary cap. They had no other choice. They got one set left and they got to play them for the rest of the year.
And who was Brett Morris on the phone to in the dressing room? That's another issue. This
might
obviously
have been
isn't
Nick
part
Politis.
Of
it. He might have been putting the finishing touches on his
as long as it
roosters.
Wasn't the Daff. It wasn't Daff, was it?
No, he was watching.
He was
the
all
game.
Over you, the Daff.
Guys, don't I miss this? What happened here?
What happened was that he was in the sin bin. He was in the dressing room, as you have to be in the sin bin, on a stationary bike. And a Bulldogs official had a telephone up holding it in front of Brett Morris's face. Now, what we learn is this is apparently there are some officials who are allowed by the NRL to have phones in the dressing room. This official wasn't one of those. But what she was doing was playing the game. So he was actually watching the game while he was in the dressing room, which is, you know, all above board and ticket.
Wow.
But the NRL's still having a look at it, given, you know, there's certain people who are supposed to be using a phone.
I call that game. That's why I didn't see it.
Yeah, that's right. The detail escapes you when you're calling. That's good.
Mm. okay, mate. Molly, step outside. Mate.
Oh, did you see the look you got?
No, that was withering.
It was withering. Yeah,
it's not a good you've had that look good.
I've had it once or twice, yeah.
If I step out, do I not have to come back? Satellite Triple M NRL.
Triple M rocks the NRL. Thanks to Ream.
Yeah, Saturday Triple M NRL, thanks to Iveco. Visit your local Iveco dealer to check out the special edition 888 Race Engineering Inspired Daily Light Truck. Wendell Saylor, James Hooper, Ryan Kirtler, I'm Tony Squires. Lovely to have your company on this Saturday afternoon, heading towards South Sydney, taking on the Tigers, John Sutton's 300th game. But right now, it is time for this.
On Triple M NRL, the best of the best.
Yes, indeed. Thanks to Mongrel Boots, the best of the best. The issue in the past 24 hours has been the officiating in that game last night. The Sharks and the Raiders, 28-24 was the score. We spoke to Bernd Sutton a little earlier from the referees. Obviously, there were some mistakes. He's admitted to there being some mistakes. Braith Nastra, I think, called it the worst decision in the history of the NRL.
Oh, there's been a few that can, you know, would be in that contest.
Yeah, see, that's the contest I'm interested in for this best of the best. It's a bit weird calling the best of the best, but that's what the best of the best worst refereeing decision.
Yeah, that's perfect. That's okay, that's what we'll go with.
Brilliant. Yeah. That's what we'll go with. All right, who wants to kick me off?
Okay.
All right, Wendell Saylor.
I'm not sure what year it was, but the Cowboys were unlucky, and Kieran Foran Manly scored a try off the hand of Foran.
Hand of God,
yes.
Yeah,
what year was that? 2000 and...
About 2009, 2010.
Yeah.
So it was back.
And
then.
The Cowboys, mate, out of the competition, that was it. It was elimination.
They had a couple of times, didn't they? Yeah. The Cowboys, where they were on the wrong end.
And JT just blew up Deluxe as he does. I can understand that.
Yeah, they went back to back. I think it was that year, and then there might have even been something the following year as well.
Yeah, there was a forward pass, I think, yeah.
This will be one that's close to your heart. Uh-huh. Siren Gate. The Dragons and the Melbourne Storm back in 2014.
Yes.
Young Tonumapia scored this length of the field phenomenal try when the siren had been buggered up. And so as a result, it cost the Dragons victory. They'd fought so hard. They looked.
It was on a Monday night.
Knock off the Melbourne Storm, who had been the benchmark team for... Mm. So many years, and I'll tell you what, it left
that was devastating.
The Red V fans.
And community. The Dragons still haven't won there since 1999.
Yeah, they weren't close the other night, though.
No, close not good enough, mate. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
50 against
We have to mention Aaron Billy Harrigan in this segment, don't we? And I mean, mine was in 2000 when Game 1, State of Origin. Mm-hmm. We scored a try off a double knock-on from Terry Hill. And while remonstrating, wasn't just the knock-on that was missed by our Billy, and while remonstrating as captain, Gordon was sent off just to compound the error. Billy still says to this day, sheepishly, that he believes there was a knock-on. There wasn't a knock-on. There dead set was, and he got that one wrong.
You still see Gordon Tallis talking about that.
Yeah.
Like it was yesterday. Yeah. Wandering around.
He holds on to things, Gordon.
I was going
to
say, the good thing about Gordon is he lets things go, just like... Yeah.
Peter Sterling is nearby. I don't know if he can grab him.
Where's Peter?
Sterlo is calling a game at 5 o'clock. But he's one of those guys who is a preparer.
It's inspirational.
He likes to be here. He likes to help out. Sterlo, hello.
Yeah, I'd just like to explain what a work ethic is to you gentlemen, please.
Off he goes.
What about an accident, Pete?
Huge game this afternoon between... what game am I doing now?
South and the Tigers.
Yeah, that's the one. Yeah. Huge game. And a lot of research needs to be done. That's why I'm here.
Just throwing in, the best of the best. Were you around, was it when Greg Hartley, the Manly Parramatta semi-final 1978, 17-11, I think the score might have been at the end. Yeah. There was definitely a try on the seventh tackle, am I remembering correctly?
It was indeed. I think I might have actually played that game. Mm. And came out afterwards that there'd been a couple of occasions where seven tackles had been allowed through, and it just happened to be that a try was scored on the end of one of those. But,
was there as much? I'm trying to remember, like the brouhaha surrounding that. Yeah,
it was big. Jack Gibson, obviously he got on the front foot straight away, and there'd been pressure on in regards to Greg Hartley at the Parramatta Club at that time, and Jack didn't miss.
Yeah.
That would have been later on. Sorry, the early 80s. But I think the late 70s was kind of what lit the fuse, and it continued on into the early 80s. But certainly, in that late 70s semi final, it was big news then.
What did you make of what happened last night? And we spoke with Bernard Sutton a little while ago, and he used, quite rightly, human error. But as Gerds tried to point out to him, it was the touch judge is kind of being hung out to dry, yet the bunker still goes with overturning the referee's decision.
Yeah, I was amazed when Hoops revealed that there'd been a phone call made straight after the game before the press conference. I have no idea what that...
Well,
the mentality behind that at all.
Well, Jared Sutton obviously wanted to get to Ricky Stewart and have a conversation with him prior to him going in to front the media.
But to what end?
Maybe, I don't know. He obviously wanted to tell him that they'd got the decision wrong. I don't know if
I think Ricky knew that.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know if they thought that was going to take the heat out of it or what, but it was bizarre.
Yeah. I thought it was very interesting that the question that you went along and the fact, you know, the flag goes up and in relation, normally that stops the game. And, yep. So yeah, look, I was just flummoxed like everybody else was. Yeah, I see it as a broader picture as well. I'm not a fan of the bunker because I think it's taken away the very essence of our game for a fan. And I keep saying there's no spontaneity in our game anymore.
Yeah.
It's taken it completely out. And that is such a sad thing. When a try is scored in the corner, everybody should go up, you know, while we get supporting that jersey. But now they only half go up because generally it's going upstairs. And then, okay, well, we have to wait and wait, and then we go up. And people say, oh, you get two chances to cheer. No, that's not it. No.
Yeah, you are robbed of the genuine elation that you get. Yeah.
That's our game. Yeah. Know, it's about the fan. And to take that away from them to such a large degree, to me, that's as big a bigger burden on our game than these bad decisions that are coming through the bunker. You know, I think it's really taken away the opportunity for the fan to really love those special moments in games, because invariably it's put on a time delay.
Yeah. Mm. And you can live with the howler when you know that you're going to have, even with the bunker, you live with the howler. We're not getting the howler, ridding the game of those mistakes anyway. Yeah. So you can probably, if you get rid of the bunker, that's what happens. There are going to be occasionally decisions that are wrong.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. And can I beseech you with one thing, please? Please do not ever send forward passes or possible forward passes to a bunker. I promise you, the controversy we're having now, it will be much, much worse in trying to get your head around that one as to when to come in, how many stoppages in play. You know, I can look at a pass compared to you guys and I'll look at it 10 times and I'll think it's forward and you'll look at it 10 times and you won't. And, and that's, you know, it is such a...
Totally. If they take that Leilua one last night, I mean, that was so subjective. I mean, if they take that Leilua one last night, which was a kind of game-defining moment, how do they come up with the right answer there? It looked to me like it was backwards.
I thought it was okay, but I go to a couple that Sean Johnson threw a few weeks earlier where there are still plenty that thought that they were forward passes. I didn't think they were. Yep. If you send that to the bunker, technology does not help that. No. You know, you cannot put a straight line across and say, well, the ball was passed there and finished there. That's not how
the ball
works.
Is moving and, with and, the player.
Exactly. And you can't just say they're going to send it up there for the obvious ones, because if you give them the opportunity and the technology to use it, they're going to send it.
Where are you going to stop?
Yeah,
exactly.
Time.
It's just, honestly, we are so reactive to things in our game, and sometimes it is such to our detriment.
Correct, which is what Ricky Stewart said last night, was the notion of sending things to the bunker because the referee doesn't know. So, I don't know, so let's go there. That can't be the reason, can it?
No. And you know, again, as you pointed out, and Gerds was very strong in regards to that, there is such a process, a black and white process, that you can only send it up so that they can look at that and they disregard everything else, when it is so clear that if we don't need to go any further than
correct.
That. You know, once it went up as a no try, and we can still have a discussion as to whether he touched it or not, by what we've gone by of this season, it's no try, because they keep looking for, what is it, it is definitive proof.
Yes.
And that wasn't, it wasn't there. Yeah.
Totally. All right, Stu, I'm sorry we hijacked you there.
Yeah, no, that's all right. I'm just going to go and do some more research.
Yeah.
What game am I doing
you're
again?
You're not doing that one. So let Triple M NRL.
Triple M rocks the NRL. Thanks to Ream.
Nice to have the company on a Saturday afternoon, just winding our way through to 3 o'clock. It will be the kickoff of South Sydney taking on the Tigers. Big game for the Tigers. The Raiders didn't get that job done. It's a tough act to grab onto the back of the top eight. The Tigers are in a position where they can keep their season alive, but they do take on the South Sydney side that have been super impressive, and who are also, of course, playing for John Sutton, who plays his 300th game in the Cardinal and Myrtle. Before we get there, though, time for a little bit of this.
Ladies and gentlemen,
I love Tony Sessions. I love the 3 and 5.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12.
3 and 5. Yes, 3 and 5.
Is that the Sesame Street jingle?
Yes, it is.
Well, it's not.
Yeah, it is.
It's in there.
And we've stolen it. We have.
Well, they just do the counting bit.
Yeah, but we've stolen it.
Well, yes. Well, borrowed, I'd rather say, than stolen.
Probably right.
I mean, my father's a policeman, or was a policeman, and a lay preacher, so I don't steal anything. I may borrow, but I certainly don't steal.
What are you looking at a preacher?
Yeah. Yeah, wow. So in the Squires family, if you were bad, you weren't just going to hell, you're going to jail on the way through. It was terrific. Yeah. He was a very tough man.
How'd you find the pair of them?
Well, he was great. You drive along the road.
What was better?
Yeah, Murph used to hang out the window. If you know, if somebody's walking on the street, had a bit of long hair, and they'd say, oh, look at that mongrel, he wants locking up. So off we'd go when we'd lock him up. It was good. All right. 3 and 5 today, because it all has been about the controversy. Ricky Stewart, who was a little bit understated. I thought he chose his words wisely, but it made us think about Ricky's 4, 3, and 5. I'm going to start very, very prosaically with you, James Hooper.
Yep.
Name 3 teams Ricky Stewart has coached.
The Sydney Roosters, the Cronulla Sharks, and the Canberra Raiders.
Yes. Other than the Raiders.
Oh, sorry.
I didn't say other than the Raiders.
No, but you should have.
Yeah.
That was too easy, Tony.
It was easy. Yeah. You could have thrown the Eels in there as your other one.
I forgot about that year.
Yeah.
See?
Okay, I'm going to go.
They haven't, don't worry.
Yeah, okay. We'll go slightly tougher for you, Gerds.
Oh, great.
Still with Ricky's, though. Can you name 3 other famous Ricky's?
Ricky Gervais, Ricky Martin, and Ricky Ponting.
Oh, bang, bang, bang.
She bangs, she bangs, she does bang.
Oh, don't give him a hint because that, segue, Sam.
Sorry.
Is our 3rd question for you, Wendell Saylor. Are you a fan of Ricky Martin?
Yes, I love Ricky Martin.
Do you?
Yes.
Okay, Wendell Saylor, name 3 Ricky Martin songs.
She bangs, that World Cup one, and a little bit of Vida Loca.
A little bit of Vida Loca!
Give us another bit of Ricky Martin, that impersonation you were doing.
No, mate.
I didn't realise he was Caribbean.
Yeah, sonny man.
Do we have any of Ricky's other songs there? No, okay. Nobody Wants to Be Lonely. Do you know that one?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Private Emotion, you know that
one?
Oh,
yeah, I've always got those.
Yeah, Frio. There's a lot there. The Cup of Life. That's the one.
That's the same one. That's the one.
Yeah, we'll give him one.
That's two.
Give you two.
So, I still came last. That stops.
Yeah, well done. You are the winner. Well done,
Ryan.
You
two. No, these two. They both got 3.
No. Yeah, but I've chosen, and because you didn't say the Eels and you had the option of saying the Eels, I'm going to go with Ryan Girdler. Oh, okay, a little earlier.
I love you, Ryan. Yeah.
Honestly.
It's disgusting, love.
It's like being in the playground in year 10.
Yeah, well.
No, well, maybe 6th class, actually.
Did you ever get bullied in year 10? I reckon you would have.
Me?
Yeah.
No, come on. School captain, potential. I was school captain.
Oh, this guy.
No bullying from me. Yeah, come on. Captain the football team in the cricket. I mean, what do you think? All right, we talked a little bit earlier about the fact that we think the top 8 is basically set in stone. And I know that Tigers supporters will be saying that's not the case. Even Canberra fans will be saying, you know, we can lose maybe one more and still perhaps grab onto the bottom of the 8. But with the Broncos' big win last night, certainly it is looking as if that 8 is, as we see it, Rabbitohs, Storm, Dragons, Sharks, Roosters, Panthers, Warriors and Broncos. That is the live ladder, thanks to EWFW Consulting Engineers, work for you. We'd gone through that bottom section of any of these teams. Who of that top 8, in a very close run thing here, are contenders or pretenders? The Broncos had been wiped. Red Line had also gone through the Warriors. Panthers, Gerds thinks are still in with a chance, I think, as does James Hooper. Wendell, were you sitting on the fence there, or you said Panthers were still a chance?
Panthers were a little chance.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm not quite as confident after that.
All right. Well, let's go up into the Roosters. Surely, Wendell, what do you think? Roosters, pretenders, contenders?
No, I think they're contenders. They're still my favourites to win the competition. I just think it's all coming together. You can see their forward pack, Jerry Hargraves, and that. They're really starting to bend the line now. Their outside 5 are playing really well. And Cooper Cronk, he's not overplaying his hand, but he's coming into his own. But I've got to say, I even love their bench, the young players, Nat Butcher and Victor Radley.
Okay. Hoops?
Yeah, I thought it was a massive win for them last Sunday against the Gold Coast Titans, especially given the risk associated with their coach, Trent Robinson, resting all his State of Origin players and Cooper Cronk. So key 2 points. Absolutely. I think that there's no doubt they are coming into form at the right time. They look like they're still building momentum. They're definitely a contender.
Okay, Gerd's taught me the Roosters into the Sharks.
No, I'm I'm scratching the Roosters. I haven't seen enough from them consistently this year. I don't think they'll win a premiership. No.
Are they contenders?
No, they're contenders, but
they're not contenders.
No, got a red line through the Roosters.
Oh, please.
Maybe next year. I think they'll be better, but I don't think if you look at their last six performances, I mean, you can look at their squad. I think that we sometimes just get caught in the headlights looking at the roster of the Roosters, which is always a good one, given the fact that, you know, they're a well-run club. But I just don't think that they've on the field. They're living up to, you know, the hype. I think they've had enough time now to settle in as a team, and they've been through a few different periods through the season. But I just don't think I've seen enough, especially in some of the bigger moments in games, that they're going to go all the way.
Okay. So, what about the Sharkies after an impressive first half last night?
I think the Sharks are building nicely, and I give them some hope. Not just based on last night, but I think based on you know, their forward pack and the way that Matty Moylan's now sort of starting to fit into his role, and especially with Valentine Holmes and the danger that he's now possessing there at the back. So yeah, I give the Sharks a hope.
Go Hoops, the fourth place Sharks, and the into the third place Dragons. Where are you going?
Yeah, I like both of them. I think they're both contenders. I think Cronulla are continuing to build, and they're going to get Luke Lewis back, crucially, at the right time next week. That's a huge in. And then the Dragons, like, I know they've hit a little bit of a flat spot at the moment, Tone, but I wouldn't be worried if Red V is a part of me like you. I still think that they are definitely capable.
Next 2 weeks, important for them. I think tonight is a tough one against North Queensland, even though they've been travelling poorly, but it's back up there. They were in Canberra last week, the Cowboys, back in Townsville. This is a huge game. Tyson Frizzell doesn't play. And then McDonald doesn't play this week into next when they play the Roosters. After that, they've got a pretty good run, the Drags.
Yeah, look, I think for the Dragons, they just need to get back to not just winning ways, but they've got to be ruthless. Like last week, the Tigers sort of, you know, they beat them with a bit of skill, and they beat them with some toughness through the middle.
Okay. Storm and Rabbitohs, clearly.
Oh, clearly, mate, yeah. If there's a grand final today, those two would be in there.
Correct. Hoops, Rabbitohs, Storm.
Bunnies, Panthers.
Bunnies, Panthers. Oh, he's picked a grand final. What do you go? Well.
Yeah, I think they're both capable, Tony.
Both contenders. Okay, there you have in that live ladder. We reckon the eight is done and dusted, but certainly the top four is still up for grabs by anybody who sits in that top eight as we speak. Plenty to come. Saturday, Triple M, NRL.
Triple M footy. Get your boots out!
Yeah, nice to be with you. Wendell Saylor has jumped out to prepare for his call with Jamie Soward. The Knights taking on the Titans. Sterlo has kindly jumped back in behind the microphone.
Rub it in, why don't you? Yeah. Just rub it in.
He's got hours to prepare for his call of South Sydney and the Tigers. But let's have a look at these games, gentlemen, in the few minutes we have to share with you. Let's start with that, the Knights and Titans for the Knights. Obviously, Mitchell Pearce, who hasn't been there for most, for the middle part of the season, he's back up against that young kid, Ash Taylor. Sterlo, who do you like?
I like Newcastle. No coincidence they played much better with Mitchell back. They just looked like a different football team, as you would expect, but he just picked up like he hadn't missed a beat. They won five of their first eight games with him there. They were in the top eight. Then he was missing. They won one of their next eight whilst he was gone. And they come back. He comes back into a tight, close game and steers them home. I've been really disappointed. I'm looking forward to the battle with Ash Taylor, but I've been disappointed with the Gold Coast the last two games because I expect a lot more from them. And I think Ash Taylor's at a kind of a little bit of a key moment in his career too. He's been really disappointing the last couple of games. So coming up against Pearce might bring the best out in him, and if it does, the Gold Coast are a chance. But otherwise, I like Newcastle.
Oops.
Funny thing with Ash Taylor, Pete, they actually wanted to call him into camp for game two, the Maroons. They couldn't get hold of him because
he's had a loose.
When he's up on the Gold Coast, he likes to go bush. Like, he likes to go inland and spend time with family and friends and whatnot. And then he turns the phone off, and he's difficult to get if he's on a couple of days off. So they couldn't find him. He didn't come in. Then there was big talk they were going to pick him for game three. They went with Cherry Evans. But, look, he has been a little bit hit and miss lately. Yeah, I like the Knights. I think they're building. Even though they can't make the finals, I just get the feeling with Mitchell Pearce back, Kalen Ponga comes back next week, they'll win quite a few games towards the end of the season.
Yeah, I like the Knights as well. They've always seemed to be playing to a plan, the Knights. I think, Nathan, they're a really well-coached side, and now they've got someone on there to execute the plan in Mitchell Pearce. I think they'll be too steady today for the Titans.
All right, there's the West Tigers taking on the Rabbitohs. The 300 number will be written on at ANZ Stadium for John Sutton. Gee, he's been good, hasn't he, for them?
It's remarkable, isn't it? You know, and it's such a great achievement at a club that's won, 20,
21
premierships. The thing that I find amazing, I think he's maybe 82 games in front of Nathan Merritt.
Yeah,
isn't that amazing? That's three seasons. Mm. That's three seasons at a club that's been is a foundation club. Yep. It puts it into context, and so many more games than the likes of Sattler and Bob McCarthy and the like. So it's a remarkable achievement at that club especially.
Yeah. Robbie Farah, 250 for him. I think Dane Gago might be 150 as well. So there's a few milestones. Obviously, Johnny Sutton is the big one. They do the job for him, Hoops.
I think the Bunnies do, but it's certainly a big day for the West Tigers and Robbie Farah. We know he didn't leave in the best of circumstances, but he's returned. He was really strong last week, especially his combination with Benji Marshall. And I know the West Tigers have certainly put a massive focus on Robbie's contribution to the club. He's a premiership winner there, and they'll want to go out and put in a good account of themselves today against the Bunnies.
Would love to send this one at Leichhardt or Campbelltown. I know there's probably too many people going out there to this one, and they wouldn't have fitted him in, but, gee, it would have been good to see a full crowd at a suburban ground. But, yeah, I'm really impressed with the Tigers last week, and especially the way that they managed that game at the back end. I think that's why they got the cash, and Moses Mbai slotting in nicely, and I think they're going to have a really good back end of the year, and they're going to trouble some of the top eight sides. But I just think South today, with a lot to play for, will get the job done.
Yeah, it's quite a development for Robbie Farah, isn't it? The game giveth, then the game taketh away, and then the game giveth.
Exactly right.
Wonderful.
Yeah, well, certainly the Tigers took it away from the Dragons last week, and they need to go now North Queensland, another danger game then, and the Roosters, so it's important for them tonight.
Yeah, absolutely, and well, you know, I think there are six games out of the eight this weekend that have an influence on that top eight, so especially if you can, although that's not the case with this game, but if you can get a victory over a side that you're competing with for one of these top spots, it's almost like a four-pointer. You get the two at their expense. There'll be a few of those coming up, so all three games important this afternoon for a number of reasons.
Do the Dragons get away with it, Gerds?
Yeah, I think they do. I think they lost a little bit of their physicality through that origin period, and having so many key forwards involved might have been the reason.
All right, go those Dragons. Enjoy your footy, Sterlo. Congratulations.
Tune in at
being
5.
Here so early. Indeed. Triple M rocks the footy.